Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
People on the river are like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm ready for this. I still like that one guy on the river, and I don't know if he was messing around, one of the naked guys, when his friend left, and he just yelled, when you come back, bring more beer and bring more Molly. I was like, I mean, he could totally be serious, but he also could just be talking ass. But either way, like naked guy in the river yelling something that blatant, like, I respect you.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
right?
He was not holding a lot back.
No. Yeah, I mean, look, your penis is in a cold river. Yeah, I also do drugs. Like, all right, naked guy, you caught me off guard with that revelation.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Tens. Starring the Tens. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 239. What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'll be hosting this here podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
By the way, a very special Sunday taping of the podcast. Sun's out. Pork's in the slow cooker. It's going to be a good one, folks. All right, to the left of me, he's actually to the right of me. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Markets are closed today, man. No stock report. We're just in here chilling, killing, $100 billing, baby.
Yeah, man. Maybe having an edible, maybe eating a cookie.
Increase your long-term holdings.
Yeah.
Buy now.
Buy now. Yeah, markets are closed on Sunday. You never know what's going to happen. All right, back there on the wheels of steel, getting the studio all set up. MCTP, Matt Conner, the producer. What's up, Matt?
Hi, Ted.
How you doing, man?
Excellent. It's good to be in here on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. And then we're going to go watch the Seahawks game after this.
Yeah.
You guys should, Cobb's already heard the speech, but that pork shoulder, man, I dry rubbed it yesterday, put it in the fridge for about 20 hours, got up at 4 a.m., cut up some onions, laid a bed of onions and beer, and then they've been sitting in the crock pot.
Oh, my God.
I almost texted you yesterday, like, dude, is it all right to cook with beer so you don't drink? Then I'm like, wait a minute, the alcohol will burn all.
I don't care. Yeah. Tyler got a text at some point yesterday from you saying, like, I went to the butcher and got pork, and I was like, oh, man. I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Why? Just like the QFC. By the way, shout out to the QFC on the North one on Broadway with the home store. I was looking at the meat and the butcher was behind the counter. She's like, can I help you with something? I was like, looking for a boneless pork shoulder. And he's like, there's some over there. I was like, yeah, those are like 12 pounds, man. Like, I that's too much. And he goes, what do you need? I was like an idiot. I said, well, I don't know, 6 or 7 pounds. He's like, give me 10 minutes. So I come back. He's recut it. And it's all wrapped up. At that point, I was like, I need it 3 or 4 pounds. So, but also with that said, it's pork, so it's fatty. So even the amount of hours it's been in there already, like it is shrunk up. Like I had to kind of push her in there to tuck it in, and now it's like there's room around the edges.
Okay.
Just had to stuff it in there.
Yeah, man. Pork, you know, fat side up, right? So as it cooks, it'll get through the meat.
See, those are the little tips, the little differentiators that I need for my, what's it called? Not hot pot cooking. What are those things?
Crock pot.
Yeah, but it's Instapot.
You got an Instapot.
And they have crock pot mode.
Yeah, if you're ever doing like pork shoulder or brisket, right? Always you're like dry rub it the night before, and then always have that fat side up so it cooks through. You got it on the bottom. It's just going to drain out. Your meat's going to be all dry and weird.
See, I'm honestly glad you said that, because I would have thought it would just kind of like sit there and sort of steam or whatever, and it would like the flavor would like go back into the meat somehow. But for you, it's like getting like letting it like ooze down, basically.
Oh yeah, man.
That's like the opposite of the George Foreman grill, or as my friend from college calls it, the lean mean flavor cutting machine. It basically is like a rooftop, so it lets it just like burn and slide off.
Matt, did you spend years on the George Foreman?
No. No, I was never a Foreman guy.
God, we used to live and die by that thing.
Yep, same.
I had some friends.
I've had four of them.
Yeah. Like, I'd get one now still.
Hell yeah, dude. It's one of the they're great.
And my Uncle Phil, who's like the big fitness smith, right? Coming for you, Uncle Phil. Fitzsmith. Who's the new Fitzsmith? He used to cook like bagels on that thing. Like when they first came out, he was like, you got to get one. Like it's amazing. It's cutting fat, blah, blah, blah. Like he would make whole meals on it.
You like that flavor? Let me cut it for you. Yeah. The thing is awesome, man. You can make so much stuff on there.
Dude, I told you, me and DB, we went through a phase when we were living together. We were up in Towson. So we had Foreman's, then we had a quesadilla maker, we had a sandwich maker, like every extra like maker you could have, we had.
No countertop space.
Eating a lot of paninis?
Yeah, basically. Well, it was the sandwich maker that would make them into like diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
Which is weird, because we weren't even, I wasn't even a stoner then. Like we didn't, like I remember people would come over and be like, can we smoke weed in your place? Be like, you better open every fucking window and make it quick. I don't want it smelling like weed in here. Right? But I was still a fat guy. So, like, those little sandwiches with some butter on top.
Yeah, good.
Just thinking about it right now is getting me hungry. Has anybody eaten breakfast?
I had a banana.
All right.
I have not.
Good. We got a lot of stuff to eat.
Did you guys have a waffle maker?
I'm ready.
I think we did have
a
waffle maker.
That's like the top maker, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, we had it all.
Damn, man.
Did we have an omelet maker? I don't know. We had a lot of stuff going. The quesadilla maker to me was always what put us over the top.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like, you're in, we were like 21, 22, and at any time, you want a quesadilla? Boom! Got you, dog.
How many quesadillas are you making that you have a dedicated maker, you know? Like, it sends a message for sure.
Yeah, and it sounds bad, but I bet I was a consistent 4 to 5 quesadilla a week guy.
Strong? Meat? Right? No meat?
You know what, man? We used to buy the cheap lunch meat and just throw that in there. It was. I mean, these were white trash. With,
like ham and turkey quesadillas?
As opposed to classic quesadillas.
Yeah.
As opposed to those white collar quesadillas.
Tyler, you're in here. You're actually Mexican. Do Mexican people actually eat quesadillas? Or is that an American thing?
It's mostly an American thing. Because all the cheese. I mean, a lot of cheese is an American thing.
All right. All right.
I love cheese. She tagged me in a video. We're going to New York in February of like 5 restaurants in New York for cheese lovers. We're going to a place called Cheese Boats.
That's Cheese Boats.
Is that the place where they like scrape it off?
No, that's a different place.
All right.
But we're probably going to go there too. But Cheese Boats are just like these things that are just filled. Are they made of bread? They're made of bread and then they're just filled with like cheese and whatever else. An ungodly amount. But it's some place in Brooklyn. Our friend lives there, Bryce. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let you know how it is in February.
I do think if you're going to New York though, you got to get a cronut. As much as we talk about donuts,
oh, I forgot that's where they originated.
Yeah,
you think the lines have died down? They were like insane when it first came out.
I would think so, right?
I feel like there are food fads and phases. You'll still probably stand in the line, but I bet it's not going to be anywhere near as absurd as it was.
Okay.
And then if you go to the Carnegie Deli, just remember to get extra bread.
Those sandwiches, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
the
man,
last time I was there, I didn't know that. So me and the idiot I was with, we tried to eat one. And like people were like, you're supposed to order extra bread and like split one. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember going there last time I was there, but I definitely want to go back.
Yeah, and get some Jamaican beef patties on the street, man. Real street food.
Okay.
My move in New York, Ted, you'll appreciate this. I used to go down a lot from Boston to visit friends. And underneath Madison Square Garden, there's like a little like Subway.
Oh yeah, Penn Station.
Yeah, wait, I don't know if it's,
isn't that Penn?
I don't. I'm not sure.
Maybe
it's not. Like a little area that's like no bigger than like this this office up here. But they have one of the places there has like liter and 3 liter beers for like $5 to $9, cheapest in the city for sure. I'm convinced. And so we'd always like kind of start there and then make our move.
Nice.
Anyway, it's good to know. Keep it on the radar.
Yeah, every time I go, I end up eating like street food. I like it.
I was wondering why you were looking at Ted and talking to him about something in New York when I'm the one going there, and then you got to the beer thing. I was like, all right, fair enough.
Dude, you know what? I'll hook you up. I have another buddy that lives out there too that knows a ton of like food, and he's like, he was my boxing coach, but he's a good dude. He's a little fancier than I am, so like he'll have some good choices for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta get back to New York.
It's getting a lot of recommendations already.
Well, that's the problem too. It's
I get another, buddy too, and his name's the internet.
It's November.
That's fair.
That is a weird thing that people do though. Like when you go someplace, like I feel like that's become like an American tourist activity. It's like the food, you know, like gotta go this place, then this place, and this place. Being down at Pike Place all the time, I just see it where people are like crossing off their list. Like, all right, I gotta hit Piroshki, then like, you know, the original Starbucks or whatever. But man, there's just some places with some fantastically unique food.
Well, like I have a buddy that was up here, right? He's a DeMatha guy. He was up here last weekend. So he's a big golfer. So then he follows this other guy on Instagram, and he said the guy started going to like these like famous bars. So now it's like part of his trips. Like he tries to like, because he wanted to go to Cannon, right? Here in Seattle. I was like, why Cannon? Like it's a tiny place. He's like, right, but it's ranked like whatever in the world. Like I'm trying to tick off like going to these bars that are ranked in the world.
Dude, I believe we just had best bar in America. I don't know what bar it was though. It's the woman who owns the Rob Roy. Jesse's from there. Yeah. I can't think of her name though. But one of her bars was voted best bar in America.
Yeah. So I was like, so I get it. Like I think people do that with food and drink, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, sure. even me and my brother and Will, like we were down in Texas and we went to the state fair. It was like, all right, we got to get the deep fried Thanksgiving. We got to get the queso, funnel cake burger.
Well, that's the thing though, too. You're on vacation. Like, what else are you going to do? Like, you're going to see the sights and eat the tastes, you know?
Yeah. My dad, he likes to go, but it's all lowbrow kind of stuff, which is cool. Like, when we were in Denver, what was it? Sam's number 3, I think. I kept calling it Ray's, but I think it's Sam's. But, like, that was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But, like, dad, when he goes on vacations, he'll drive to, like, hot dog stands. And like, you know what I mean? Huh. Like, you're not going to catch them going to like a high end steakhouse or something. But it's like, the city's famous for their hot dogs.
Yeah, my dad's the same way. He loves like a good like blue collar breakfast joint, like, especially like truck stop type places. You know?
Yeah, man. Somewhere you get a giant meal. All right, let's see. Since the last time we've talked, obviously I was fired up about Maryland, and they fired DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
After reinstating him, and then it was a shit show. So. I have an official statement on it, and I would just like to tell the University of Maryland football program that I myself am on an indefinite suspension from being a fan. I have to talk to my own personal board of Regis, and we'll see when I reinstate my fanhood.
Do they have a new coach yet?
No, what's his name? Matt Canada is still the interim coach.
Yeah, I mean, how could
I'm
they...
I'm just being a smart ass. No, I'm saying... Like, I'm going to talk to my board of Regis, asshole.
Well, I'm saying, how could they expect you to be a fan without knowing who you're a fan of yet? You know what I mean? We got to wait, see how things play out, see who he's going to be, see who the new president is. You know, like, maybe you take the rest of the season off and, you know, prepare. It's a rebuilding year.
It is. I've been watching the Cougs.
Did they win yesterday?
They did.
Okay.
Watching the Cougs.
They've been winning a lot.
I mean, they're 8th in the nation, dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, with authority, too. Do you think the Dogs will knock them off because of their heated rivalry?
So, generally, I feel like Washington State plays the role of spoiler for the Huskies.
Yeah, of course.
But the Huskies, like, they're back in kind of the conversation. I mean, they're not going to play in the playoff. But, like, yeah, I think that's a dangerous, dangerous game for the Cougs. Because the Huskies would like nothing more than to go to the Palouse and ruin their party.
Is it so? It's over in
Pullman, yeah.
Wow.
Right, because the Huskies have had those years where they're rolling and they're ranked in the top 10, and the Cougs come into Seattle and beat them.
Definitely.
So, yeah, like earlier in the year, like if it was even and they were both still in the top 10, I'd take the Cougs every day of the week at home. But because the Huskies probably are going to be upset minded, like that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, and the Cougs are already be looking towards different bowls and whatnot. I just hope we get like a high-powered game where it's both quarterbacks just slinging it out. You know,
man,
they both can throw.
Yesterday, I was watching some of Bedlam, Oklahoma State. It was 21-7 in like the first quarter with 6 minutes left. Like, you like points? Watch the Big 12.
Damn.
I was up last night, like Texas Tech. There was like 30 seconds left, and Texas Tech had just tied it up. No problem. Texas went down with 12 seconds, scored a touchdown.
Yeah, weren't you telling me that about the Brown River shootout, too? It was like a track meet. I mean, it was like 45.
Red River.
No, not the Red River. It was, so the Red River, right, is Texas, Oklahoma.
Correct.
This was Texas Tech, Oklahoma, or
Oklahoma
State.
I didn't know
what
the Brown River one is.
Oh, then maybe Rowan was telling me about it. But yeah, the Brown River shootout apparently is like, hold on, I'll look it up while we're talking.
All right. Yeah, yesterday, Bedlam, I also like Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State, because when I was in Dallas, we asked all the Oklahoma fans, why do they call it Bedlam? You know, man, I'm not sure. And then it turns out some radio announcer one time was just like, this is Bedlam, and it stuck. But wow. Every Oklahoma fan we asked was like, I am not sure. we were just like losing our minds. Like, it's your team. Like, how do you not know what your rivalry game is called?
I'm not seeing anything about it.
I mean, Rowan, I love Rowan, but he is from Dublin. Maybe he's just making stuff up now. The Brown River. I don't know. Brown River shootout just sounds bad. That sounds
I think that's the idea. I think it's Texas Tech and Oklahoma. I'll keep looking.
Yeah. Brown River shootout just sounds like diarrhea.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. You know what? The Brown River shootout follows this cheese tour of New York.
So the game was 51-46 is the one he was referring to, and is essentially just like a track meet. I'm not seeing anything here where they call
it. But who was it?
Texas Tech, Oklahoma.
All right.
But I'm not seeing anything here where they call it the Brown River shootout. That is crazy, though, for a number six team against an unranked team for it to be within 5 points on a 50-point game.
Yeah. Absurd. Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, I used to love, 3 yards and a cloud of dust, right? Like, run the football, have a good defense, but screw it, man. Like, some of those games are fun to watch. I mean, they're just shooting. Like, it's just up and down. Like, all right.
Oh, do you know, when's the Washington State High School Championship? I go to that every year. It's got to be soon.
The playoffs just started.
Okay, nice. Yeah, the final game is always awesome. It's at the Tacoma Dome, and whatever division you want to watch, ton of fun. It's super cheap, too, and it's like, it's high school, so you know you're going to see crazy stuff.
DeMath, they're in a championship game next weekend, too.
Oh,
go
wow.
Stags.
Go Stags.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? All right. We're definitely going to have the party on December 8th. We're going to do it 4 to 8 in the afternoon. Tacoma. I'm pretty sure I have the spot locked up, but I don't want to announce it yet. But just know we'll be in Tacoma December 8th, 4 to 8.
It's downtown.
Downtown.
We're going downtown.
Everybody should have fun with that. That'll be a good one.
Dude, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Come hang with us. Have some beers.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get, I know Migs has got something going on, but hopefully we can get Rev and Glenn down from the Migs cast.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things were always fun, man. Last year you got lit up, too. I remember you trying to put that joint out on the sidewalk and you were trying to step on it. Yeah, man, we have a good time.
And we went to Jack in the Box and I ate it. And then I was like, where's my food? You're like, you ate it.
Dude, yeah, I forgot about that.
Damn.
Yeah, man, that was fun as hell.
Like, I was drunk enough that I completely just like I was like, God, that burger sounds good. Like, yeah, you already ate it. Oh, yeah. My bad.
Yeah, man, yeah. That was a fun time.
Yeah, it is. What else was I going to tell you? You know what? I don't want to go political again. I just got to say, man. Trump talks to people so mean and nasty. Like, I wouldn't let anybody. Like, I can't stand that. And that's not a, why? Like, I don't want anybody talking to anybody that mean or
you're
talking
about,
down to people.
Like, the general condescension.
Just the way he's talking to the reporters. The other day, the reporter asked him a question getting into the helicopter. He's just like, that's stupid. Like, you're stupid. That's an ignorant question. Why would you even ask me that? Like, I'm just like, dude. Like,
well,
you know what I mean? Like,
you don't
have to be an expert in psychology to just be like, what are you so deflective and defensive of? Like, chill out.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, too, is when someone doesn't have, I mean, that's like the classic, like, ad hominem attack. It's like, if you can't beat their argument, like, attack the person, you know?
Right. I'm just saying,
I can see that being a tactic. But yeah, also, it sounds like he's just kind of a prick. I think that's pretty widely agreed upon.
Right? Like, I don't know. I'm just like, damn, man. Somebody asked about Little John. I don't even know who Little John is. Like, he was on The Apprentice. He was on your fucking show. Like, there's hundreds of photos of you and Little John and you and Little John talking and you talking about Little John. You know, it's just like, it's just aggravating.
Well, dude, I wonder, man, see, that gives me almost some hope, because I wonder if, like, you know, you've seen the photos, obviously, like the before and after of people being president, where it just, like, stresses them so much that they age, like, 20 years in 4 years.
Yeah.
And what I wonder is if now with, like, aside from the Mueller inquiry and just, like, constantly being the public punching bag and being in the spotlight and the media cycle and all the decisions they actually have to make and then also trying to run the election and whatever, if it's starting to get to him where now he's just like frustrated that he can't change things like every president ever, like tired, stressed, and like caught up in sort of the quagmire of the bureaucracy, which happens to a lot of presidents, where now he's starting to feel the heat both from the Mueller thing and from the day-to-day grind of being the president, where now he's having like short, snappy comments, and hopefully it's starting to work his magic on him.
Yeah. I would also say, too, after the elections on both sides, like, there was wins in that election for both Republicans and Democrats. But the Democrats act like the sky's falling. Republicans act like it's this dominant victory. And I'm just like, I'm just sitting there looking. I'm like, I understand how things work. Like, winning the House back was a pretty big deal for the Democrats. For the Republicans, that was they're extending their lead in the Senate was a pretty big deal. There was some good states they won. There were some good states. Like, I'm just like, to me, that seemed like a good night for like both sides. But anything you watch anymore, it's just either, you know, it's one way or the fucking other.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, partisan politics, you know, but also I think it speaks more to the, what's it called? The collapse of traditional media, in that they have to go more and more extreme. They have to hit that panic button to get the views, you know, and the plays and the people tuning into their TV program or buying their newspaper. And every time they hit that, people become a little bit less sensitive to it each time. And so I feel like in a lot of ways, many of them are participating in their own downward spiral.
And the reason I brought this up is I just want to remind people, right? Trump obviously is going to do his own thing, but just it costs you nothing to be nice to people, and don't talk to people. Don't talk down to them, and don't talk disrespectfully like that. Like, it's just don't do that to people. Now, look, I'll do it sometimes if I'm making a point and trying to be an a-hole. You know, like, do you understand how inflation works? Right? So I get that's an argument I have all the time.
Not exciting that example.
Yeah.
Yeah, inflation's insane.
Right? Like, obviously you don't. And right? You see my hands going. So I'm saying, like, I get it, but I would only talk to somebody that way if I wanted to, like, piss them off. Or
right, where his default is to...
Right, so I just, like, and you can be Republican, be Democrat, whatever. I'm just saying, like, over, like, let Donald Trump do whatever it is he does. But, like, just on a personal level, like, there's no reason to talk to people that way. And you know what? The person filling out your to-go order, they probably had a long day, too. Right? Or the waitress, you know what I mean? Like, I always judge people on how they treat a wait staff.
Dude, it costs nothing to be sweet to people. And honestly, what's crazy is you end up with a lot of like cool discounts and stuff. I mean, even like I can think of 20 examples from the last couple weeks. But like this chick, I was buying like a library ladder for this place we're working on. And like we ended up getting like $400 off because I was just really sweet to her. And we were sitting talking about how our day was going, whatever. And like I was at IKEA yesterday and there was like a huge line, of course. I found out that, first of all, the IKEA down south, second busiest IKEA in the United States.
Huh. Jesus, that one's always packed.
It looked like Black Friday in there. And yeah. So anyway, I had to go. I was getting like a refund for something. And so I waited in the checkout line. I found like a pretty short one, waited for maybe 20 minutes, got up there. She's like, oh, you have to go to the customer service thing. And they called her manager over. And I was really sweet to the manager. And I was like, so I have to go stand in that giant line. And she looks and she sees it. It's probably an hour and a half line, realistically. And she's like, well, where are the other things you're buying? I was like, I only came here to do this. She was like, okay, come with me. And I was like, yes. And like, she hooked me up and it, you know, like same thing. I was just not freaking out, being nice. And like, I don't know, man. I feel like just, it's nice when it goes both ways, but not doing it like to get some certain result, it still ends up paying for itself 20 times over.
Yeah. And sometimes you're going to run into people who are just a-holes, right? Like, and that's okay. And I have to fight that urge sometimes too. You're just like, why did that person, like, you know, they're just like, well, they're just having a bad day or whatever. But there's no reason for you to then be mean to somebody else in turn.
Well, and there is that, like, that Buddhist, Buddhist teacher who talks about how, like, everything that someone says to you is a reflection on how they feel about themselves. And so that's why I think about that Trump just being curt with people and how he might be beginning or continuing to sort of, like, devolve inside and get eaten up by the presidency, because nobody really talks about or thinks about, like, you know, at some point, like, that guy's just like laying in bed by himself, like thinking about his day. And he's just like, man, like what the fuck? Like that was a crazy day. You know what I mean? Like not to defend the guy, but you know, also like he's got to be just sitting there like, man, like that was wild. Well, that's people are real pissed off at me.
That's the golfing thing, right? And I say that to people all the time about the golfing. People are like, you know, I'm like, look, dude, like he doesn't drink. He's never been like, he doesn't smoke or nothing. I go, I think golf is like his thing. That's why like the first like year and a half, he kept like running to the golf course secretly every Saturday. I think he's just in there going, oh, I got to golf. I got to get out of here.
Yeah. I can't imagine it's taxing.
Being nice. So two stories. Real quick. Number one, I stayed at a hotel once. I got a discount because the lady was like, you got a veteran's discount? I was like, no. Like AAA? I was like, no. I was like, I'm a really nice guy. She was like, that's kind of funny. I'll give you like the AAA discount. I was like, thanks. And then last night, I'm sitting in my place, and there's this knocking on my slider, right? And I'm like, that was knocking on my door. So I kind of ignore it the first time. Like, maybe they'll leave. Then I hear it again. So I open the door, and the guy's like, I locked myself. I forgot my keys inside. Like, I can't get in. And I'm like, you got your ID on you? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm not trying to be a D, but I just got to make sure you live in this building before I let you in. So he's like, shows me his ID. I'm like, all right, cool. So I let him in. He's like, thank you, thank you. And I'm like, no worries, man. So I'm sitting there. 10 minutes later, there's another knock on my door. And I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, thanks for letting me in. I got you a taco. It was a delicious taco.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, from the new spot down the street.
So you're a bouncer now?
I guess so.
The building bouncer? Actually, it'd be perfect from your spot. It's like, just go check in with the security office. Ted will let you in.
All right, you want to read some emails?
Yeah, sure. We got a gang of them. So how our new little, how I've been sort of sorting through these, I'm not really able to read them ahead of time, so we'll just kind of edit in real time. Good morning, Diligence. Recently, you guys talked about products to stay away from. An easy rule to follow is to stay away from the cheaper product. A perfect example is Reynolds Wrap. Every time I end up with a cheaper knockoff, or standard thickness, I end up putting a hole in whatever meat I'm smoking and mentally cuss at my frugal Hebrew nature. Spend a couple extra dollars now and buy the heavy-duty type Reynolds Wrap. Same could be said for condoms. Do you really want to risk the next 18 years of being broke AF on a rubber that was bought in a bowling alley bathroom? Eventually, you'll roll a gutter ball. Finally, do not drink cheap booze. My worst experience with hangovers are the ones that I indulge in well drinks with very little water in between. Take care, man. Sober Sal.
We already read that one.
Dude, all right, I was thinking that.
What up, Sal?
Did we already talk about Maynard from Tool?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we'll have to skip that one.
Hard pass.
Boys, just started listening to the Grace Podcast in all Atlanta.
All Atlanta.
It's made my commute so much better. I've heard a lot of talk about dip season and Ted's famous sausage dip. I'm hosting my first holiday party this year. And I would love to know some good dip season recipes you all have tried out. LARP on, fellas.
Who's that from? No name.
He has his name on here, but not at the end.
All right.
Oh, well, yeah, it's tough to tell.
Here's the bad part. I don't give out the sausage dip recipe. And then, I mean, I guess I could give you the spinach dip recipe. The spinach dip recipe is fine. Everybody knows it. I'm pretty sure it's on the back of the thing. So you get frozen spinach, right? The problem is I don't know the amounts. Offhand, but it's frozen spinach, sour cream. There's going to be some mayonnaise involved. You want to get the Coors vegetable dip. And then the big secret is you need to get Hidden Valley powdered ranch dip. So you mix it all together and then add some Hidden Valley to taste. Oh, yeah. You got to drain the spinach and all that stuff. And then just buy a sourdough giant piece of bread, cut a hole in the middle, pull it out, put the spinach dip in the bread bowl. Looks, it's a nice presentation and the mayonnaise makes it better. Somebody who will go unnamed took a bite of it and goes, I know the secret to this. It's the mayonnaise. Thanks, Mitch.
Oh.
What is powdered ranch dip?
You know, haven't seen it?
Instead of, like, you can make ranch at home with, like, real buttermilk and stuff instead of just buying it already made, but it comes as a powder. So that's how you get, like, the ranch flavor in the spinach dip. That's kind of the secret that makes it good.
Wait, what do you mix the powder with?
The sour cream and the mayonnaise and the spinach.
No, I'm talking about just when you're making ranch at home.
Oh, buttermilk if you wanted to make it like a proper one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That just blew my mind. I guess I don't even really know what's in ranch.
Well, it's right next to the French onion dip.
French onion dip is bomb.
Right, but you get that, the packets of those, right? You know what that is?
I've only ever had it from like a pre...
Oh, okay.
You've had it in my house on Christmas Eve.
I've never made a dip in my life.
Oh, all right.
Not really onion a saucier.
Dip. So just buy Lipton's. There's, you know what? Yeah. You want it, the easiest dip to start with is buy Lipton's onion soup, buy a thing of sour cream, and just mix it together. I don't know why, but the onion dip will taste better. You put it in a bowl, and people are like, this is crazy.
It's
like,
so yeah, good.
I just did the time to just mix it instead of buying it pre-made. And it does taste better.
Solid yeah. starter dip.
Yeah, it's a great, I would recommend you serve it with either Ruffles or a classic nacho cheese Dorito.
Wow.
Salad Smith's do it.
Never there done that.
Go. Yeah.
Cobb, I heard you were looking at jumping on the Instapot lifestyle. All I can say is the best purchase I've made in a long time. Game changer. LARP on. Casey, formerly of Ballard. Thank you, Casey. The only thing I've made in there so far is eggs 4 times.
I've owned one for almost a year now, and I've yet to use it.
First, I want to say, Fired Up Ted is the shit. Glad to see Durkin got fired, but kind of pisses me off that it took till mid-season. Hopefully, Ted, you go back to being a Terps fan.
Indefinite suspension.
Because Taryn trying to get you to be a Cougar fan makes you look like a bandwagon fan. That's yeah. a bad look, bruh.
Whoa.
Don't touch on the
whoa,
listen.
Whoa.
First of all, you can't shame somebody who knows what they're doing. I'm a bandwagon fan. Like, this, nobody's, you know, nobody's arguing that.
He's owning it.
Yeah. Like, I know I worked the poll. Fucking tip. Feed the meter. I know what I'm doing in this club. Christmas around the corner.
You don't touch on the candy bar topic. I got a Snickers king size from work and was stoked until I realized I paid $3 for 2 fun size candy bars. Dude, exactly. They are a little thicker though. I'm gonna wrap this up with one question. Cobb, are you back in Washington? Been in the studio for the last couple, so I wasn't sure. Thanks, fellas. Jaden. Yes, Jaden, I'm back for a year at least. Living up on the hill, right by my boy Ted.
Yes, sir.
And we're opening a little spot down at Pike Place Market. Pretty pumped. Details to come. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I was listening to this week's podcast, number 238, and wanted to chime in with my experience with Big Sugar. Right as you guys were talking about the stranglehold candy has on society, I was throwing a few bite-sized Halloween candy bars into my lunch bag for the day. Your discussion rang my truth bell a little louder than I wanted to hear, but ring it did. As a recovering addict, sober 2+ years, baby, I'm fully aware of my brain seeking the next dopamine fix, and nothing hits that button easier than readily accessible candy. I go through bouts of indulgence, and this year's holiday season has been especially bad. Whether it be the Easter time jelly beans or the Halloween chocolate, I found myself reaching for those sweets with almost zero self-control. I know my ADHD's impulse issues play into all this as well, so it's an uphill battle, I'm well aware of. So my solution for all this? Diligence. That's what. I grab one piece of chocolate instead of 5. Do I eventually grab 4 more pieces? Sure, but I don't want to. But I don't see how that's relevant. Thank you again for the hours of entertainment. Keep up the great work. Ross W., Linwood.
Matt, what do we call that?
What? Moderation?
No, he's recognizing it. So it's like...
Oh, notice and name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's like... Right? So like that's how the habit kind of starts, right? At least now he's conscious of how many he's eaten. So maybe you don't cut down right away. Maybe next year you have...
They're just paying attention.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. Give us a quick primer on what notice and name is.
Well, as you go through changing behaviors and habits, you just like come across resistance or hurdles and... You know, instead of worrying about trying to be perfect as you navigate those, you just go through them with the mindset of observing what you're going through and noticing it and naming it. Oh, wow, I'm really not excellent at practicing restraint when it comes to sweets. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about the Ross that emailed. you just observe yourself going through whatever behaviors it is. And as you notice them, you have a little bit more information to make a more informed decision on the next round.
And you can tell like how it feels, right? So it's like, I'm still going to eat some stuff. It's, you know, on a Sunday or whatever, but it's like, I'll notice like, all right, I'm consciously eating this ice cream. Number one, is it worth it? Number two, how do I feel the next day? So it's like, you don't have to like, you know, because I'm just of the theory too. If you just go cold turkey, it's hard to really do that with a lot of stuff.
So, and stick it out with
and
it,
stick it
white
out,
knuckle
yeah.
in it. Yeah, with, and kind of the next thing as you notice a name is then when you're the next actionable strategy is like if you're after you notice that, like, can you sit with that uncomfortable feeling for 5 minutes, 10 minutes before you act on it, and then you have some time to you know, run through your brain and consider things. And if you still want it, like, sweet, you just gave it some thought. You increased your consciousness by 5 minutes, 10 minutes before you made that decision. And that is the exact opposite of impulsive decision making.
Yeah, there's some, man, I wish I could remember the name off the top of my head. There's like a psychological talk therapy that's related to that, where it's about putting distance, like in terms of the timing, putting distance between you and the stimulus or the emotional driver, where you're like separating yourself from your thoughts and then also adding the time component of like waiting 5 minutes or whatever with the uncomfortable nature.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's on the right track.
Yep.
P.S. When can we expect more of the Aaron Cobb experiment? Love the show and we'll gladly wait until the Alley Cat can slow down enough to produce more episodes. Honestly, man, probably not till like the beginning of the year. We got a big project going down at Pike Place, so I'm trying to get that hammered out first. I've worked like every day for the last 60 days with the exception of two, so full up, but thank you. And I'll get back to it eventually, but it's going to take some time. Hey guys, just wanted to write in and tell Matt, it was great talking to you at Tony V's Garage on Saturday. When I heard Woodshed was playing, I thought you might show up, but didn't recognize you at first in the tie-dye. Used to always seeing you in dark colors. Great seeing you, and stay hydrated. D-Rock from Everett.
Yes, that was great to see D-Rock. That was that was fun night. Jetted over there while I was at Bill's things. And yeah, I was like, I think he was wearing a KISW shirt and just kind of gave him the look. And I was like, yeah, what's up, dude? And so, yeah, it was a cool interaction.
P.S. I'm on the bidet and squatty potty train, and life is good.
Hell yeah.
Ted, are you either of those?
Neither. No, that's why that disgust is just me personally. Like, God, get a squatty potty.
I know. I got to do the same thing, man.
Like, as you said, bidet, I'm like, I feel dirty. I'm not as clean as Matt is right now. I know,
man.
It.
It's because you're living that paper life, man.
I know.
I know, I need to get on it too. The squatty potty does feel a little weird, like your first couple times, though.
I just like how quick it is.
What do you mean?
I just feel like as soon as you put those feet up, it's like.
Oh, see, mine was opposite. It's like a weirdly uncomfortable position.
All right,
where
guys,
like,
we can't start talking about going to the bathroom. I got to run.
All right, he's going to go pee.
Well, here's the thing, though. So I wonder if it's different for different people, because the squatty potty is the same height, right? But like all of them they sell are the same height. But toilets are always different. And like, is it ever weird for you when you use a handicap toilet? How, like, your legs hang a little too far and you can't quite get the right angle?
Huh. I don't know.
So I that's the not. Same experience for you. Like, you're at home toilet and, like, a cold, calculating corporate ADA bathroom. They have two
sizes. I always use the ADA bathroom.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. Apparently, there are two sizes of ADA.
Squatty potty. I used it at Sal's house, I was just impressed. I also ate a bunch, like, I probably ate half a dozen Dungies the night before, too, with a lot of Old Bay. So I think a lot of things were moving around quick. I'm not even kidding. We went to a casino that had Dungies, like, hot Dungies on the buffet. And Jessica, his wife, was very nice and, like, sat there, but I brought in my Old Bay. I mean, I sat there forever.
I'm just like, I don't know if you, like, I don't know if everyone is a crab person, but for those who aren't, it's a Dungeness crab. Big crab person.
I could eat crabs for hours, man.
Yeah, you seriously could.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, like, you're all about the Maryland blue crab, but, like, what's the worst crab?
Well, first of all, K-Rab. If it's spelled with a K, that's not crab. That's just cheap fish they get from Japan that they dye.
Oh, is that what they make that stuff out of? I was wondering, because I always get the California roll sushi, and I just assumed it wasn't real crab. But so imitation crab is fish?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's what they put in the sushi?
In the K-Rab? Yeah. So K-Rab's the worst, and then probably snow crab. But then, like...
Do people eat Opelio?
Yeah.
I hear about them crabbing for that.
And some people, I think those are what snow crab legs are, right? Because then king crabs are the giant ones, right? That are like this big.
Yeah, that's
like
ridiculous.
So some people think Alaskan King is the best. To me, Maryland Blue Crab's number one, and then I'll put Dungeness Crabs right underneath it.
All right. Oh, dude, what? I mean, not to pause this.
With that said, I'll eat any crabs. Stone crab, whatever. Like, I'm in.
What did you think about the whole Amazon to Northern Virginia thing?
Is that where they're finally going?
It sounds like they're going to split it and go half to New York, to Long Island City, and half to Crystal City in Northern Virginia.
Oh, that's where I went to broadcasting school. Huh. Yeah, Connecticut School of Broadcast in Crystal City.
Huh.
It's weird. The school, and there's like a whole mall underneath the ground. And there's like a metro stop in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I always figured you went to Connecticut.
For the Connecticut School of Broadcast?
And I never heard you tell stories about being in Connecticut.
No. Just the name of the school.
That makes sense.
I mean, dude, you live in Seattle, but you could go to the University of Phoenix.
That's a good point.
See? That was an ass thing to say. Unnecessary. Matt, I apologize.
Right, like, but I went to Maryland to go to the Broadcasting Institute of Maryland.
You did.
You went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting without going to Connecticut.
Well, they have other, do they not have any out here? Like, they're all up and down, like, the East Coast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Franchise or chain, whatever. Yeah, gotcha.
Dude, that was a hustler, man. I used to drive down to Crystal City, and then I would drive in to D.C. and work. So I would be there all day, and then I'd go in at night and be a janitor.
Okay.
Grinding,
man. It's true.
We good on emails?
No?
There's a couple more.
What's in there? I know somebody emailed us about the... did nobody email us about the immigration stuff?
I don't know. This one's not about it. Like I was saying, I read them as I go through. Matt, what do you think of the new Slipknot song?
Oh, I love it. I listened to it so many times when it first came out. It was just like on repeat one for like two straight workouts and just like driving around in the shower. Yeah.
It love is it. A fucking rager. Yep. I was playing it at work and totally freaked out my supervisor. I'm very happy about that. I'm going to try to get to the get together in December, but going south is a long haul. We'll see. I'll make sure you all get banana bread before the end of the year. Stay positive. Stevie the Packers fan.
What up, Stevie?
Stevie does love Slipknot.
That's it on emails.
Stevie looking good too, man. I saw a picture he posted on Instagram the other day. You could tell he's down some LBs.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah. Get it, Stevie.
Yeah. Good Hell work yeah. there.
Diligence.
All right, let's see what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Madden?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's Madden?
Whoa. Check out what's Madden.
Man, I gotta start taking notes. We were gone last week, so the weekend before this current one was a lot of fun. Friday night ended up, we went and got Ethiopian, and then we planned on seeing Woodshed at Slim's. But we ended up going over to live the boat life at Jesse and Jamie's. And then we got trapped in the vortex down there. And I just hadn't seen them in a while. We couldn't leave. So hung out. Mayor made an appearance. Lance was there. Ted was there. And we had a great night. And then...
I mean, all the powers of the vortexes were there. Jamie's there. I'm there. I'm there without a plan to go anywhere.
You had a plan to go somewhere.
Oh, and yeah.
You
were supposed to go meet Todd.
I'm good.
Yeah.
We both had plans to go places.
Right, but Lance is there, Cobb. It was a perfect storm.
Sounds awesome. Lance, that's 1 week ago or two?
Last weekend. Last Friday night. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Lance and I came back to our apartment and hung out all night and just had a great time playing cribbage. We have our color-changing lights in our living room now.
It's very nice.
Right? So they were changing colors and... The car, everything in the room changes colors, including the backs of the cards. So we're calling them magic cards and just had a great time.
Plus your neighbors, dude. This was late, dude. It was like when I was over there leaving, it had to be like 3 a.m. in the morning, right? 3 a.m. His neighbors across the way were having like...
It was a full-on
like
rager.
Like it was so loud and they were having... Like I told Matt, I was just like, I'm going to go over there. I got to know somebody. There's only a certain type of people that stay up this late in the city, right? Like somebody we were talking about earlier, I was like, I bet one of them's in there.
I was thinking...
You know people at that party.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking about how funny it would be if like...
We're everywhere.
Lance and I came out to smoke a spliff a few hours later, like mid-crib game, and then Ted's walking out like, what are you guys doing here?
Oh, hey, Matt.
What are you guys doing out here, man? You left 3 hours ago.
Right? Well, I'm up now for good.
That's how the coyote do, man.
So, yeah, that was a fun night. And then Saturday was Bill's going away party. So went up north for that. And then Lance and I jetted over to Tony V's while that was going to catch Woodshed since we missed them on Friday night. So we got to catch them. That was cool. And then that was another awesome late night hanging out, celebrating Bill going over to China for a few years to work.
And we hung on a boat again.
And another night of boat life. Lance's boat.
Yeah, Lance's boat's in the garage. It was raining, so we just smoke spliffs at his boat in the garage.
Which awesome.
So much fun. I don't know why, but I loved it.
We weren't even on water.
Yeah. Dude, that's what, yeah, when I went to hang with him, same thing. The boat died, and we just sat at the dock on the boat.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. It's a good hang out
on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun that night, and that was last weekend, and then this past weekend, or this current one, Friday night, went and saw Mark Norman, hilarious comedian, and God, I want to find out the guy that opened for him's last name. It was Mike something, so that doesn't, it's tough to narrow down, but he had some great bits.
Where were you?
Laughs, over in the U District. So that was
local comedian named Mike.
But he's from NY. He's from New York City.
Oh, he's a New York guy. All right.
Yeah. It was a great night of laughs.
That'd be even easier.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a New York comedian named Mike.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, when you go.
Hey, Mikey.
Just right. Mike? Mike the comedian.
Hey, get Mikey up here.
Either way.
We're here to see Mike.
We had a great time.
Oh, Mike!
Not Mike. No, different Mike, actually. Damn it! so that was fun. I had Mark Norman always talks about how I listen to his podcast Tuesdays with Stories all the time. And he talks about how, you know, he's a character on the air, you know, when they're doing the podcast and they're just having fun, but he's kind of like shy and awkward and introverted, and I just... After the show, he complimented my pants and my hoodie, and I just, like, beelined past him after I shook his hand and said, great show, because I don't want to make an ass out of myself. I had edibles in my pocket for him, but I just, like, panicked and just, like, thanks, man, and just, like, got the fuck out of there. And just, like, went outside like a cat, like, licking my wounds. Like, damn it, man.
That's good. You know what, though?
Like, thanks. I like to dress colorfully because I like weed. Do you want some edibles, man? Like, such a chill interaction to have, and I just blew it.
That's a great story.
I like that even, like, stoners that get stoned all the time still, like, have those moments where it's like, yeah, like, I'm still a stoner. I panicked. I ran out for no reason. You know,
like,
what I mean?
I had, you know, I just wanted to be in the moment. It's just like, just be quick. Don't be fanboy. So, but then he, like, gave me two compliments on two articles of clothing, two, like, options to just invite a little bit of small talk.
Yeah, banter.
Yeah. God damn.
So how'd it go, man? Me and your guy. Like, I fucking panicked.
I blew it.
Have you ever heard Miggs' story about Beckham, David Beckham?
Uh-uh.
So he's, like, at the Super Bowl, and he's in line to get a drink, and David Beckham, like, walks through, and I guess it's, like, cutting through the crowd, like, with security and everything, and as David Beckham walks by him, Miggs looks at him and winks at him.
You winked at him?
Okay, man, I know these people don't know who you are with your 10-man security team, but I do.
I watch soccer.
Nice, Steve.
That's really funny.
That's really good. Both of those stories are good.
That's awesome.
So now I'm just excited to hang out here. Oh, yesterday we were at my parents. My dad was over there, and then we went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody. That was it.
Oh, nice.
That was really good.
All right, I've heard people seem split on it. Either it's not that good or it's the best movie ever.
I just really enjoyed it. I like the soundtrack.
Looks like the couple is split on it.
Yeah, Tyler didn't have the greatest. She didn't have the most overwhelmingly positive reaction when I asked her.
I'm trying to describe. Like, let me describe people. Afterwards. Matt is sitting here, like, smiling, like, grinning ear to ear, like, it was awesome. And Tyler, not meanly, but just sitting in the chair next to him, just shaking her head no.
Very unamused.
Here's my deal. They took 8 years to make that movie and had Sasha...
Baron Cohen, yeah.
Thank you. was the original guy. He quit. Because I guess the other guys in Queen, like, wanted to make it all about them. And they're like, no, it's about Freddie Mercury. Like, it's Queen.
Yeah, it was very Freddie Mercury-centric.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was a cool movie. Very interesting. And because the band was, like, involved in it, I figured it was all pretty accurate. But I don't know exactly how all that unfolded. But they made it a... good movie.
Tyler says no.
No. That's a quick no.
But right.
It's a hard no from
Tina. I'm talking about, guys, but it was a lot of fun. And now I'm excited for the Hawks game.
Yeah.
Not sure if enjoyable and historically accurate or unenjoyable and not accurate at all.
What I can glean from the story is the edibles that were not given to the comedian, Matt took, and he loved the movie. Maybe Tyler didn't indulge as much. She's like, this is a completely whitewashed bullshit version of what actually happened in Queens.
I've seen the behind the music.
I mean, I saw one person in England wrote an article that was just like he was a sexual deviant and did drugs. Like, none of that's in the movie. Or they said they really toned it down.
They did tone it down. But it was done... They portrayed it. They just, like, nodded to it. It wasn't all, like, super graphic.
Wasn't in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always torn on that. Like, whether it's better to throw the lifestyle in someone's face or let it exist
right.
in the fringes.
There was, like, one quick shot of, like, some cocaine left over on the table from the night before. There wasn't, like, you know, the montage of just...
Of bathhouses and right, oil.
Right, just them and, just yeah. throwing down that's, like, set to one of the songs for a minute of just, like... Crazy.
Where's the orgy?
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Or me, like it's singular.
Lines,
right? I was promised an orgy.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's all dudes. Where's the orgy scene?
It's got to be more than four people and they can't be in relationships. We know that much.
Hey, oh. So.
When they make a movie about me, by the way, somehow, man, just slip in there that he did once have sex with three women at once at a brothel.
Well, I just wanted to tell Cobb about a pretty big thing.
We're giving like behind the music interviews. Like, oh, Ted, well, you know, he smoked a lot of weed. Orgies almost every week at the house, too. Make sure you get that in your film.
Don't forget.
Player, man.
Never did coke. Loved orgies.
Real attractive women.
Cobb, we had a three-man shirtless hug. On Sunday,
shirtless
last
Sundays.
Shirtless Sunday.
Shirtless City Sundays.
Last week, me, Ted, and Lance, all shirtless, not on the river, just went for it.
Tough transition from the Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Well, we're did we have a hug orgy?
I mean,
only
was,
three people.
There's a lot.
Yeah, that's a definitive no. Yep.
Three dudes.
Peanut Gallery
and a
also
lot of
says
skin.
No. Judge's ruling: no orgy.
All right. Well, that I think that's the best way to cap what he did. Since we've been gone, we had a shirtless hug on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. prompt. And we met a small dog.
Fruit up.
Fruit up. All right, I think it's about that time.
Calm topic.
And we met a small dog.
I mean, tiny.
Tiny.
Like maybe 4 pounds.
As small as the one you and I met over in the park.
It's the opposite of that small dog.
I know, dude. I think we've told that story, but yeah, I didn't know what a Great Dane was. I asked someone what their dog was.
What kind of dog is this?
It's like,
it's a Great Dane.
Pretty clearly a Great Dane.
I know, we tell that story all the time, but I still love that story.
No, it's like, I'll show myself out. I mean, yeah.
She's that was essentially the today.
Well, that was essentially the same story as Matt's, like basically being blazed and just unable to engage with people, you know? Like, all right, I'll keep moving. Ted and I were talking about this on, we walked over to the studio together. We were talking about this, basically, without giving too many details, Ted and I have come to realize that the best strategy when meeting a woman is to, instead of, basically trying to date her, to wait for her to, if she's someone that you find attractive, she probably knows a lot more attractive women. So to wait and go for the second wave and have her introduce you to her friends. So we were talking about that, and in context of like some things that happened to different people over the week, the point is, when it comes to dating, what did you learn that helped you the most? And I would say similarly, that's like instead of eating the apple, it's like planting the apple and waiting to have an apple tree. Boys, when it comes to dating, what did you learn that helped you the most? Feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com.
Man, I mean, I still am bad at it, but I mean, and I didn't have a girlfriend until I was like in my mid-20s, right? But the main thing was just, you just got to talk to them. As hard and scary as it is, or I started being more like, if I have a date, it's like a second date or third date, like crossing that 6 inches of hell between like making the first kiss or whatever. So it's like, at least, even if I get shut down, at least I took my shot.
Yeah, I think you got to make a definitive move, too.
Right, right. Whereas, like, right, a few weeks ago, I was all fired up because I didn't. And I was beating myself up more for just, like, not even attempting it.
Yeah. Yeah, what's that, the, like, regret and discipline, you know? Like,
I don't know, but it felt
like
regretful.
Regret weighs ounces and, oh, wait, what is it?
Regret weighs pounds?
Discipline weighs ounces and regret weighs pounds. That's what it was.
I mean, it depends on the lift, bro. Sometimes discipline weighs 50.
Now, I'd like to put an asterisk on Matt's answer. Girlfriend is in the building.
Yep. That's what I was sitting here thinking about. Like, well, I mean, whatever. But what you're talking about with making the moves, like, that leaves you out hanging out to dry. And you got to keep doing it. Because otherwise you can try and attempt to win over the wave of friends that comes with becoming friends with her.
And I will say, too, and on that, like, what you're talking about, we were talking about on the walk over here, like, I have to be conscious, like, you can't wade halfway. With, like, that girl I met the other night, it's like, I was very clear of, like, no, we're just going to hang out as friends, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like,
don't get caught in that middle ground.
Right.
Yeah.
If you call that middle ground.
You don't want to wait forever in the friend zone to then be like, hey, by the way, I love you. Like, that's not a good way to do it.
Yeah. That's
No. But I'm saying, like, I'm not trying to hook up with, like, I mean, I would rant, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm not going to, you can't, like, I don't want to be in that mid-zone.
That ship has sailed.
Right. Like,
you know it.
Yeah, pick a side.
She knows
right,
it. She's where the friend's at.
Right, where the friend's at.
Mm-hmm. Good move.
Well, and the same even when people talk about, like, a physical move or, like, crossing the 6 inches of hell, as Ted said, you know? Like,
that's maybe it's a little heavy.
You don't, like, almost kiss someone, and then you're just, like, sitting there kind of nervously close to them. Like, I feel like I see that with, like, younger guys a lot. Like, they'll kind of, like, try to put their arm around a girl, but not really. And it's like, dude, you, like... In or out, man.
Yeah, I've done that. It's not comfortable to think about.
Yeah, the hover hands in a photo.
I will say the thing that worked for me the best was just to be yourself. I know that sounds like cliche, but like just kind of the first time I met my girlfriend, I had seen pictures of her on her Instagram, and I had been I'd been on some Tinder dates and met other girls just like take, they know their angles. And so when I saw Tyler using some angles, I thought maybe like she had a few extra pounds on her. And then when she walked up, I was like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Like, and I just was very stoked on her figure. And so, but I was like really happy about it. And I didn't know, you know, it was just kind of, I was like, I gotta say, like, I'm pretty impressed. I thought you were going to be like 15, 20 pounds heavier. And it was just what was on my mind. And it would have been so awkward if I didn't say it. I didn't have anything else. And I went with it. And, you know, here we are 2.5 years later. So, you know, if you're going to, that's what worked for me. I don't know if like calling girls out like that first thing is for everybody. But I figured, you know, I have inappropriate or, you know, socially inappropriate comments and regular inappropriate comments that go through my head that I let out a lot. So I might as well get her used to it right from the start. And she thought it was funny. So I got lucky.
I don't know. I'm all in on this new theory, putting the fishing lure out there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a longer term play.
And it just looks better. Like I was on a trip recently and there was three dudes and we had one girl with us, right? Which is like a cute, fun girl. So I was just saying to her, like, it helps, like it, she was like, oh, I hope I'm not like the random girl on the trip. I was like, no, like we need you here. You know what I mean? Like three dudes walk into a bar or a restaurant. It's like, oh, there's three dudes. But it's like three dudes with a chick that's like attractive. So it's like, all right, they must be safe and somewhat okay.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like she wouldn't be hanging out with them if they were just like meatheads.
Well, and, you know, girls have their guards up a lot when they meet new dudes. But if she can let her guard down with you because you're friends with one of her friends, you've gotten past that first layer, which can be the toughest.
It's true.
Right?
Mm.
I've been a house
every
guy
layer
for 2.5 years,
every layer
guys.
Is tough.
I'm just...
Every layer is
every
tough.
Every layer is tough.
You know? Trust me, boys, I know. I was off crying this morning, cutting those onions. Layers. All right. So we're going to go eat some pulled pork. There's episode 239. Remember, mark off your calendars. December 8th, we'll be down in Tacoma, 4 to 8 p.m. And I'll announce the place here, hopefully on the next podcast. We'll talk off the air. We got to figure out when we're going to record that because we got live day coming up.
Oh, that's right.
Also, if you don't have tickets to that, go to live day, man. That's a fun day.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to get to go.
All right. But yeah, it's always a good day. I'm trying to think what else we got going on. Nothing. We should talk to you guys before Thanksgiving. We'll sneak one in. I don't know when we're going to record it.
It's Thanksgiving in 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's real.
This Tuesday. Well, wouldn't we do it the following Tuesday? Like, not this Tuesday, but
the following Tuesday, that's live
but
day.
But that's live day, so I won't be
in
the building.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, maybe we have to do another Sunday session or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sunday, I'll be in Vegas next weekend.
What? Yeah,
maybe we'll do a Monday. We'll figure it out. We're going back to my house. We're not going to do it here.
Get us out of here, man.
Really yeah. ended strong. And yeah. then, God damn
we got
it.
Caught up. All right, go Hawks.
Focus.
Episode 239 for MCTP for Comedy Ted Smith is the podcast.
Cheers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.